What's up, SAs? Welcome to the Dual Athlete Podcast. I'm your host, Garrett Fisher. And today we talk about college athletics. This is a never-changing world in collegiate sports. We have new rules being put in. First, with the five for five rule, where athletes now get 5 years to play five seasons of their sport or sports. And this does not apply to seniors right now. So unfortunately, the seniors that are currently playing will have their eligibility gone after this year. We also have new transfer portal rules being put in. Athletes will now have the choice of doing one transfer without penalty, but the next transfer will come with a season of ineligibility, just like the old rule. And really, college athletics isn't what it used to be anymore. It's kind of going into this amateur level. It's kind of going away from the amateur level, and it's becoming more of a professional thing. Athletes are now getting agents to help them in recruiting, secure NIL deals. That's what we're going to get into later today with our special guest, Kaysen Holman, who is a former BU hockey player and now runs an agency in collegiate sports, mainly in hockey. Now life as a student athlete gets even harder. We have to balance classes, handle the pressure of meeting expectations of our NIL deals. And now we don't even know if our spots are going to be guaranteed after the year with all the transfer portal going on. Like I said earlier, that line between professional and amateur sports is starting to get a little blurry for us. We got to really pick a lane here for the NCAA. Are we going down the professional line or are we staying true to our amateur roots? They say they're going with the amateur roots, but I don't know. It's getting real interesting. All right, now let's get into the first ever edition of Student Athletes Exam of the Week. You guys send questions in, I answer them. Today we're going to be answering two questions. The first is coming with, how do you prepare for an exam knowing that you have to deal with all the duties as being an athlete, like weightlifting, practicing, prepping, etc.? And to be honest, you just got a game plan. I create game plans all the time, plans for myself, you know, when I'm going to get something done, how I'm going to get it done. And when an exam is coming around the corner, I make sure to plan for it ahead of time. Too many times before, I've had times where I try to cram it in, run my schedule, and I end up, you know, failing on my exam or not getting a grade I really deserve to get. And recently, I've been implementing this new strategy, and I've seen better results. The second question has to do with, what benefits do you see come from being a student athlete? And there's so many I can go from, but I think just being a better person and a better leader on and off the field. I think I've seen myself become more confident in certain areas of life, whether it's around the house, socializing with my friends, or anything, going into a job interview especially. I think just growing that confidence and being a leader in every aspect of life is so important, and I really give all that credit to being a student athlete because you have to handle so much and have so much on your plate and really just jumble like a bunch of different things through your life, and it gives you a little bit of adversity to fight through, and those challenges are what make us. Give a special shout out to the people that make this possible with our Prize Picks. The playoff push heating up and tournament hoops are here, and there's no better way to cash in if you're right on the high flying hoops action than print Prize Picks, America's number one sports picks app. Every bucket, every dime, and every win means more when you're playing on Prize Picks. And with their brand new team picks markets, you can now pick game winners, spreads, and totals on top of the player picks you already know. So cash in if you're right during all the clutch buckets, slam dunks, and Cinderellas this spring with team picks on Prize Picks. Download the Prize Picks app today and pick your first game winner, spread, or total as the playoff push rolls on. And get $50 in daily fantasy lineups when you play your first $5 lineup when you use code DA10. That's code DA10 to get $50 in daily fantasy lineups when you play your first $5 lineup on Prize Picks. Prize Picks is a registered FCM offering. Team picks and culture picks as event contracts. Trading involves significant risk, not for all. The content provided is for informational and educational purposes only and does not constitute investment advice. A recommendation to trade any commodity interest or an offer to open an account is not registered with the CFTC or NFA. Prize Picks Predict does not endorse or guarantee any statements made by third-party promoters or influencers. Please consult with a qualified professional before making any trading decisions. Thank you, Prize Picks. Let's turn it to our first ever guest, former BU hockey player and owner of Commonwealth Agency, Kaysen Holman. All right, let's welcome our first ever guest to our podcast, Kaysen Holman. Kaysen is a former Boston University hockey player. He was also an assistant captain for the team that went to the national title. He played professionally in the American Hockey League, the ECHL, and also played some years internationally. He's also the founder and owner of Commonwealth Hockey Group. Kason, how you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for having me. How are you doing?
Doing good. Thank you for asking. And it's obviously great to get a former college player on a student athlete based podcast. And I guess my first question for you is, how would you view your life as a student athlete back when you're at Boston University?
It was great. It was, it was really, fun to be around a lot of people in school that really supported the hockey team when I was there. Boston University obviously has a very well-known hockey program. So for me, being a student athlete on a team like that that made it all the way to the national championship game in 2015 and being an older player on the team, it was awesome being able to, obviously go to class with some of the people that went to the games and be able to experience that out in, an open setting as, at BU was fantastic.
Yeah, I remember going to a lot of BU games when I was younger. I actually went to both of the Frozen Four games at the Garden. I was always a big fan of that team. Obviously Jack Eichel was on the team. A lot of good players come from BU. Evan Rodriguez, another one. I saw him on the your website giving a good quote. How did it feel going to a school where the pipeline was so good and seeing being able to have guys like Eichel and obviously guys like Shattenkirk being able to look up to those guys?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's one of the reasons why you want to go to BU to play hockey, right? And I mean, it's one of the powerhouse schools. It's for people out there, who, watch college football and don't pay a lot of attention to hockey. I like to think it's more of it's like the Alabama of college hockey. So for me, when I was trying to, obviously my end goal is to play professionally, play in the NHL. That's what every college hockey player's goal is at the end of the day. To play on like the best team, with the really best players and get yourself, playing with them and seeing where you are in that benchmark is exactly what you want. So, being able to go to Boston University was unbelievable for me. It was a great experience, and also it kind of, paved my way to play professionally for however long I did here, and I played for 7 years. So I think playing at BU was a big step in the right direction to get me where I needed to go.
Yeah, talking about the professional years, how do you think playing professionally shaped to who you are now, as a person, on and off the ice?
It shaped me tremendously. I have being in that team setting, with a bunch of guys that are like your brothers and kind of working together to accomplish the same goal, and everybody having different roles on the team and everyone pulling in the same direction, and being able to set, certain selfish tendencies aside to, get to where you want to go to is huge, right? And I think that's why if you do a lot of the studies, okay, athletes make, the best people in working jobs after hockey's over, right? Because they understand those team aspects, they understand sacrifice, they understand goals. And I think that's huge. And being able to play professionally and, you have different teammates every single season. You're not on the same team with the same teammates. It's like you have to go in and have new relationships every year and establish yourself on that team. Maybe, one year, like when I played at BU, Jack Eichel was the top guy on the team. I had to take a little bit of a back seat to that, right? Okay, if you go, different teams, maybe I'm, higher up. On a different team, I'm, taking a different role. It just depends on what the team needs from me and team needs from a certain player, when and where, depending on that team, right? So I think college sports and professional sports really establish that and get you in the mindset to be successful in all areas of life.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the first 2 years of college, I went to UMass, and I was playing club baseball. I'm like, ah, this doesn't feel the same. And then when I came here, I think just being in that college athletic atmosphere just makes you so much better. I think it made me a better student overall, and
Yes.
also a better person. I think developing certain skills, leadership skills, has just been so instrumental. And I think I credit that to being an athlete. I'm
Yeah, and
sure you do as
also, yeah,
well.
and also, yeah, also for me now, I'm married and I have a little 7-month-old daughter. It really, shows, how to, make those relationships, how to connect with people and be able to talk to people in a way that, makes them feel like you really, really, and care about them because you do, and you want them to trust you. So I think having those, being on those teams and being in those positions really gets you ready for life outside of hockey.
Obviously, you're involved now with the recruiting process for young players, and I think I've been there too, recruiting. It's kind of a little bit weird time when you're in high
Yeah.
school and stuff, but How would you compare, obviously college sports are so different now, when you were in high school being recruited to how recruiting is now, specifically in hockey?
So I committed to BU when I was, 16 years old. Early as I possibly could. And it was just a general path. It was like you were committed, you were going there. If you ever decommitted, you would have to go back to juniors. And there was this whole process of, pretty much everyone had their teams, and it was really hardly any decommits and going different places. Which I thought at the time was great because you have your brothers on the team, and that's who they were going to be, and that's the team you were going to have, and you guys gonna have to figure it out together. Nowadays, with the transfer portal and all the craziness with NIL, and I'm dealing with it as a hockey agent all the time. It's the wild, wild west, right? And it's like everything changes. There's a new rule now that they're trying to pass through that's,
So,
5 years of ticking clock eligibility through everything in
yeah.
college sports. So it's just there's you just don't know what's going to happen, right? And you got to be able to willing to adapt. And as a player, it's tough. And then as a recruiter for the college teams too, it's also tough because you could have a really good team 1 year and then the next year. I think you look at Penn State hockey last year. I mean, they were really good, and then they lost like half their team to the transfer portal, right? So stuff like that. I don't really know what the outcome of it's going to be at the end. I think it's a little too messy as of right now, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, college hockey, I think it's got to be the toughest sport to play collegiately. I mean, you got to play juniors just to play at the D3 level. I mean, it's a grind. I know a lot of kids who have they've committed to big schools and then it hasn't really panned out and they got to go down to D3 or don't even play college hockey at all. So I think it shows it's a really tough sport to play overall. And when I was at UMass, I noticed that UMass is like a pretty consistent program with recruiting. They always recruit. They're not always going after the top prospects, but they usually have a lot of draft picks in the third and fourth round. I think it's really interesting to see how like teams are adjusting now to the NIL era and stuff like that.
100%. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, and yeah, I just have I was wondering about the 5 year rule. I mean, obviously you kind of give your opinion about it. Do you think college hockey overall though is just it's starting to get going? Like, I mean, obviously it's seen a little bit of a boost recently with the NIL getting big recruits. Do you think that trajectory is going to keep going, or do you think it'll plateau eventually?
I think it's going to keep going. I think it's going in a spot where it's good. I don't know how that affects all these other teams, and I'm worried in a sense that you're only going to see the same teams over and over and over again competing for, national championship. But for me, it used to be the decision between, major junior hockey up in Canada or college. Okay, now it's almost like you can go play major junior up in Canada, and then your pit stop after that would be college. But now it's weird now because that was how it was going to be. But then now we have the 5 year clock. So how does that change things? If that gets passed through, it just there's so many things, right? And then you have the NIL money. It's like, okay, well, then you look at all the teams that have really big football money, and like the Michigan States, the Penn States. Like, where does BU fall in that? Are they willing to match people's NIL money for top players? I know BU and BC are kind of blue bloods of college hockey, like we talked about, kind of like the Alabamas of football. But if they aren't willing to pay a top player with the same NIL money as some of these top schools, where do they fall when that comes to fruition there? So it's going to be interesting to see. I'm glad that I don't have to recruit for college hockey right now. It's going to be a mess, but
I know.
we're gonna kind of figure it out as an agency in here, and I'm trying to gonna try to go with the flow. But it's tough to say because you don't really know what's going to happen. They could change the rule next year. They could have another rule the following year. So you just have really no idea.
I also feel like college hockey, I think the NCAA, like they kind of need to like take advantage of this opportunity to make it explode. I mean, I think having like these regionals and like I think it was in like Manchester, New Hampshire this year is kind of ridiculous. I was wondering your opinion on that. Like, do you think one seed should host? Do you think it should be like certain cities? I don't know.
Yeah, I think the top team in each city should be able to host. I think you should have 4-1 seeds, and they should just host the tournament, and that's their advantage. Their school gets there, and that's their advantage, right? I think that's huge for me. And I would like to see a college hockey explode too, in a sense of like, maybe we're getting some more D1 teams down in the south, like the SEC schools in football. And I know I keep comparing to football, but that would be awesome. Like a Texas Longhorn D1 hockey team. Like that would be awesome for me. And I think that would be really cool to see. But yeah, I think I'm it's in a spot where it's ready to explode. I just don't want them to have all these rule changes and kind of falter at the same time.
Yeah, I know Georgia club hockey has like an insane rank. I was wondering if like, yeah, I feel like eventually like the southern schools will get a little involved, might tap into it, but yeah, I'll see how that goes. And just to kind of wrap it up, I mean, obviously you're into agency now. What kind of made you want to do that, and what's kind of the goal you set for these kids that you're dealing with, and like to get them to the next level and stuff?
Yeah, perfect. Great question. So everyone that played hockey when I'm 33 now, I stopped playing professionally 4 years ago. When you're playing college hockey, pro hockey, you always have an agent or advisor and, prep school hockey around the Mass area. And then like some of these advisors do a good job, but some of them, they call you every two times a year and they just give your, they're just around, right? And for me, I'm very big into development and teaching kids how to play the right way. And I want to make sure that not only am I an advisor, putting them on the right teams, getting them in the right schools, making sure they're ready for certain, tournaments or camps or all these things. I want to make sure that the best hockey player, the best human being they possibly can. So I do a lot of video work with my guys at a very high level, making sure that we're learning stuff that no one else really teaches. And I think that's why I'm having a lot of success. I just opened this agency the Commonwealth Hockey Group about a year and a half ago, and I have some really really top guys in the New England area because they do a video session and they're like, oh, okay, well I need to learn a lot more, okay? And it's when I was growing up at BU, it's like I thought I knew everything, and then you get to BU and everyone's just as fast as you, just as big as you. I'm 5'8", so they're way taller than me. But it's another level, right? And you got to understand how to play the game the right way and understand every little intricacy of it and trick and tip and everything. I didn't really know how to play the game to my full potential mentally until I was 24, 25 years old playing in Europe. Well, by then it's too late, right? So it's just, you really got to understand how to play the game. I always say this, like to compare it to like a math test kind of. It's like, you got to study for it. You got to know what's on the test. Okay. The game of hockey is this big test where everyone's coming at you in certain spots. And it's like, if you don't know the answer to the problem right away, you're in trouble. Right.
Screwed.
Okay. But like a kid, someone who hasn't learned this stuff now, it's like, okay, gets the puck, looks up, tries to think about it. Well, you're already hit. You're already pinned up against the wall. Right. A guy who knows what he's doing, who's studying the game, who's doing the video sessions, who's developing, they get that puck and they already know, this is the answer to the problem. I need to move it here. Like, I already know who the other guys on the team are. We're all good. Okay. There's always an answer to the problem. We just got to know it before the game starts. Right. And that's kind of where, like, I like to teach, and I like to, just differentiate myself from other advisors and other agents because they don't do this type of stuff.
Yeah, 100%. My coach always says you got to know the answer to the test, like you said. Whether it's knowing what you're going to do before you get the ball, knowing certain situations, knowing how to adapt to, tough environments. And I think putting kids in tough situations when they're younger is, only going to make them get better and grow. And I think what you're doing for kids, especially in Mass, which is humongous hockey state, like Mass and Minnesota, I'd say, are the biggest hockey states in the country by a mile. I think it's awesome, and I think it's only gonna be beneficial for those kids to grow and go to the next level. All
100%.
right, Kay, so I just want to thank you for joining today. It was great insight. Great to learn about Commonwealth Hockey Group. Everyone should go check it out. And especially from a guy who's played at such a high level and has played around so many good players. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Gary. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
And that'll do it for the first episode of our Dual Athlete Podcast. I'm your host, Gary Fisher. And to all the SAs, we'll see you next Friday for our next episode with another special guest.